Hi, this is Connie Hunter, Community Conversations. April is National Volunteer Month, so we kicked off a new series called Volunteers Make the World Go Round. And today, we're especially excited to have Curry County Commissioner Susan Brown, because she's going to bring awareness to the importance of volunteerism, especially at the county. We can serve our communities in Curry County in a special way, and Susan's going to let us know how. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Connie. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So kicking off this series is exciting because I've always appreciated the fact that the county has a really good accessibility through volunteerism. You can make changes and support the county. And if you want to go ahead and give us an idea of some of the things that you know are available to citizen volunteers.
Okay, thanks. What's really kind of interesting about county volunteerism, you get a chance to participate in decision-making and policy guidance at the county level on many of these boards because that's why we put them in place. We want citizen input to help guide our directions or our policies in different areas. For example, we have the Local Public Safety Coordinating Council, which is it's a mandated board, but it recommends to commissioners plans to provide for public safety in our area. And so this is a monthly meeting, and they discuss issues around providing public safety to the communities, and then that comes to the commissioners for if we're going to change a policy or look at something new. The budget committee is also from lay members, and so you can get involved in our entire budget process and recommend changes to the budget or what you think should happen there. And I think that's very important to have lay members or public input in the budget process. Another thing is the Board of Property Tax Appeals. It's an interesting committee because if you feel like your property was assessed too high for your value, property taxes, you can come to the appeal board and talk to them, and they can decide and review and see if you need to have a reassessment and if your claim is valid and work with you through that process. So you can make some changes while you're here. So those are a couple of them. We have
Can I ask you a question? I recently got a press release that talked about the town hall meetings about the budget. Can you tell us about that? Because I thought that was great. And if people learn more about the budget, maybe they'll be more likely to participate in a committee like the budget committee. So you want to tell us about that?
Sure. And I'm so glad we're doing that this year. So we're going out starting next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're going to hit all three cities, and we're going to be talking about what we kind of approach the budget with, the numbers that we have. And I think when you hear about county budget, the numbers are just so hard and convoluted that it's really hard to make sense. How are they deciding, and how do you get through all this? So we're trying to kind of distill the information down for the public to say, this is what we look at and have to decide on, and these are the funds we have to work with. And then going through and showing how our departments function within those budgets. And then at the end, going through mandated services and non-mandated services and who our departments are. And then the end of that is going to be asking communities, if you were looking at this budget and you were deciding what to do, what would you think are priorities? How would you work within these numbers? And, how would we make this work? And we want citizens to become involved in this process because we go into budget hearings in a couple of weeks. And so we want to take that information with us as we're looking at the budget and making decisions. What are the community priorities as well as what are our priorities?
So actually, a citizen that comes out and attends one of the town hall meetings, like your visioning town hall meeting or this upcoming budget town hall meeting, they're actually spending some of their time in almost a volunteer way to find out more so they can make better decisions when they vote. And of course, when you do those kinds of outreach town halls, what I know is citizens tend to participate more with these volunteer opportunities. So knowing that some of the lay folks out there will learn more about the budget process means we'll maybe have more volunteers on that budget committee.
And I hope so, or at least more participation in the audience, because the budget committee hearings are all open to the public, and we generally get one or two people, because it is a lengthy process, granted, but hopefully we'll get more people to maybe take an interest in how it really works instead of relying on I heard this is what they're doing with the budget. Well, no, come find out. And if we can get a good understanding of the basics of the budget, it might make it more interesting too, because I think if you don't understand, you can lose interest quickly in something. And so let's understand it. Let's work together on it. Let's provide input. Let's let the commissioners know what you really think about the process. Because we really do rely on input to make our decisions, and we should.
That's what elected officials do. Take input and distill that into a public policy. The Curry County has a number of committees, as we've talked about, that are staffed by volunteers. Any one in particular that you would like to see more people come out and be involved in?
Well, we have, this is exciting to me, our Retired Senior Volunteer Program. It's been here for 40 years, housed in the county, but we've changed focus this next coming grant cycle, and we've changed our focus to what's called economic opportunity, but essentially what it is, it's housing and jobs. And we need volunteers to get involved with this program to help folks get into housing. We know that's a crisis situation right now, and some of the processes for applying for Section 8 programming or public housing or subsidized housing, lengthy application processes that they have to go through. And sometimes it's overwhelming for someone to get through that process if they're just struggling to begin with. So we want to train volunteers in that process to help these folks understand the applications, get them filled out, make sure they're dropped off, whatever is appropriate to be filed with the application, so they have a better shot of getting in that housing program. And then even after that, there's the personal rental application. So if you're just renting from a private party, there's application processes there. And part of the program is what they call the ready-to-rent program. So if you're struggling or if you've had difficulties in the past renting, there's a 6-week course we'd like to teach these folks to have them become more responsible renters so that the landlords are more willing to rent. And so we're trying to break down some barriers to getting into housing. And so we need volunteers that want to be mentors and to learn the application processes so they can work with people and get through these processes. Because even after you rent, you still have to work on utility deposits and move-in issues. And it's always a struggle. And so how can we help that?
And then how can you access those wraparound services that support you as a citizen who's renting maybe for the first time or has had trouble renting in the past? And I know that Curry Community Health, for example, their mental health advisory board, which I'm lucky enough to be a part of, they put together a referral tool. So all of those things work together to make successful housing opportunities and to get people to be better renters. So that's a huge, fantastic volunteer opportunity. So what would you be looking in terms of a volunteer? Who would be a typical volunteer in that position?
So it would have to be, you know, someone who, of course, has a little bit of skill and knowledge and just a general application or filling out forms, because we're going to do training with the volunteers, and has a passion. I think passion is probably the most important skill that a volunteer needs. Passion for helping, passion for wanting to move these folks into better situations. And I think we have a lot of volunteers that have that passion, and passions come in different areas. So, you know, I just started to talk about the other opportunity, which is the job-seeking opportunity. Part of even being a good renter is having stability and having that income, or kind of figuring out, you know, how you get in, but you have to pay for it every month and the budgeting and all that stuff. So we have the second half of the program is job skills, basic soft skills, mentoring through resume writing, interview skills, showing up on time, how to dress, you know, put the phone away, you know, those sorts of things, so that folks, when they go out for an interview or filling out applications, they might have a better chance if they're more appropriately approaching the jobs, and then kind of following through and say, how can we help you improve your interview skills? You know, and we have some higher boards after that that could take over for more training on a specific job. So it's kind of a handoff process that our volunteers could work and then move folks through the steps. So we become renters, we become employees, and this is all a benefit to our community.
Well, and those community development efforts, and I have to say, when you say the word passion, when I think of Commissioner Susan Brown coming out to all three of the League of Women Voters homeless resources forums that were held in March, I got to see what passion looked like in your commitment to growing those programs and getting that community development petri dish to work better. I mean, you have to have the right petri dish to do the kinds of things that community development requires. And you are one of the people that took the time, for example, going out in the visioning process to all of the communities to find out what people wanted and needed. But with regards to housing, what do people want and need? Where are the gaps? And you were there. And so I appreciated you being there consistently and really listening and coming back with some ideas and that call to action. And I know one of the things that you're putting together is a joint housing forum that's going to work with Coos County, and stakeholders and community members are going to be included, and I was so excited about that. So you want to tell us about that? Because another way of volunteering is to show up and give input.
And I think it's so important to kind of do this collective work on the housing, because we have a lot of community folks that are interested and they're talking about it. And they're talking about it in silos here and here. And we all say, oh, we have to address this housing situation. So now we need to take that next step. Let's get the folks in the room that can help us make a difference locally. So you've got your state agencies, your federal agencies that have the technical ability, the funding, the resources to help us pull our housing needs together in an actionable plan so that we can know what we can do here in Curry County and how do we go about doing it. So we've put the housing forum together, and we've got a date scheduled now for May 26th. So mark your calendars if you're interested in moving housing forward in Curry County. And I'll get more information out in a press release and some invites. But so we'll have like HUD and Oregon Housing Community Services. We'll have some foundations there. We'll have some private developers there talking about what are our next actionable steps. Because we know there's a need, so we need to stop talking. And talking is good, don't get me wrong. But we need to put an actionable plan together to say, this is how we're going to attack the housing in Brookings, Gold Beach, and Port Orford. And this is what it's going to take for us to do that. And this is the potential funding pieces to make that happen. And then part of the forum is, because we're a small county, we don't necessarily have the technical advisors to take a plan that we may come up with and implement it. And that's the important piece. We could make a plan, but if we can't get that plan off the ground and working, then we're just having another plan. So part of this forum is that technical piece to implement and get that started. And I think, and this all, you know, is so passionate to me, because it falls into homelessness, it falls into low income, because if you can't have stable housing, if you can't have a place where you can be so that you can next go on to the jobs, or if you have issues with addictions or mental health, you need to be stabilized so that you can relax enough to be able to take the next step in your life, move into treatments or jobs, whatever it is that you need to do. So I think housing first is so important. Stabilize our families, stabilize our economy, stabilize our, you know, people.
And I'm glad you brought up that housing first strategy, because the counterintuitive truth about housing and homelessness is that the solution costs less than the problem.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I really learned throughout the process and doing the research to help moderate those League of Women Voters Homeless Resources forums, that to really understand why housing first makes sense. And the fact that the county is going to train volunteers to help people get into the system to get that housing, and what? To create the housing in the first place, because there's a shortage of housing. You want to talk a little bit about that?
It's been an interesting kind of search, I guess, because, you know, we don't have extreme population growth in Curry County because we're rural. And even over the past 10 years, we haven't had such a growth that we should be having a shortage of housing. So I started wanting to know, where did our houses go? How did we lose housing stock in Curry County? And I've talked to the three cities and got some general ideas. We've had a lot of foreclosures in Curry County, the housing bust. So the folks that were foreclosed on became renters, so they took up a certain amount of stock that used to be available. Now those foreclosed homes, a lot of them are still sitting empty. We have homes that were long-term rentals turning into vacation rentals, so they're taken off the long-term rental stock because there's more money if you do vacation rentals. So it's not necessarily that we've lost any housing, it's just the housing has been repurposed into other areas where it shortens our rental housing. So that's why it's important to kind of work on this plan and find out how can we get foreclosed homes back in the market. Can we make work with banks or lenders to get these homes back on the market? We have abandoned homes. So what can we do about the abandoned properties and getting them back on the market? We have some apartment complexes that are empty and through attrition, and so we have some apartments sitting empty because they don't want to put the money into rehab them. So how can we do rehab work on existing properties and get them back into the market? Because it's going to be difficult in Curry County. We don't have a lot of buildable land, and to build is costing, it's really expensive, and you go through the zoning processes and finding the funding. So that's a long-term solution. So we want to look at first short-term impacts that we can create some openings in housing right away and then start looking at those long-term impacts that we can do for permanent housing.
One of the things that I wanted to point out is when you talked about reaching out to the cities and you talk with the mayors, mm-hmm. guess what? Mayors are volunteers.
Yep, I know. They are. And they're great because they know what's going on in their cities, you know, and they're just as passionate about this, too, because I'm sure they're hearing the same thing we're hearing at the county, you know, and we hear it from the big businesses. We hire somebody and they accept the job, but they get here in Curry County and they can't find a place to live.
But the huge difference here is that good communication is happening. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen so much in the past 7-8 years. And so I really see the county stepping up and taking the initiative, and you in particular, to talk to those mayors, to get that feedback, to get that idea of what the needs are in the different cities. So go mayors, go volunteer mayors.
Well, I think the thing about people, I think many people would volunteer. Sometimes they're waiting to be asked. They're not necessarily maybe wanting to step up, but gosh, when you ask them, they're going to say, yeah, I'll help.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a spirit of service. And you just identified something really fun about who you are. I mean, you have a heart of service, but you have a heart of service to go out there and do things in the community that are a little unusual. And before we started the interview, we had a little talk, and we talked about the Lobster Creek fundraiser. So I want to bring that up. And first tell us about what Lobster Creek is and what the fundraiser was about and why orange is the new black.
So this was last summer. It was a lot of fun. Lobster Creek Campground is one of the county parks, and it's clear up the Rogue River. And we had this fundraiser at the youth camp. One of our officers over in the sheriff's department was going through some family medical struggles. And we wanted to do something as a county family to help raise funds to help his family. So we did this In Tune with the Trees, I think it was called. And part of it was a fundraiser. If you could jail an elected official by pledging money, so then they would be jailed for a certain amount of time. So my husband, bless his little heart, kicked in a lot of money to put me in jail.
Now that's a good husband.
And my friend did too. They thought that was funny. So I ended up in the orange jumpsuit up a tree because we had a couple of choices on where you could be jailed. And one was hooked to the bandstand and one was up a tree. And I thought, well, up a tree would be good, you know. So put up the tree, sent up the tree with the little orange jumpsuit and the shackles and sat there, but the sheriff was nice enough to come buy me a beer.
Now that's a good sheriff right there.
Well, I was in the tree, so. And it was a good viewpoint. I got to heckle and scare a few people when they walked by below the tree. So, but it was fun. It was worth it. We raised some money for the family, and I think we were all very happy to do that.
And I think there was a volunteer band out there playing, the Spence Brothers. I think most of the bands that came out that day and provided entertainment in the process were all volunteered their time. Yeah. And so that it was a fun day. I didn't get there for the jailing time when you guys were in jail because we had another commitment, but I got there late and I was a little bit bummed because I did wear sympathy orange, just so you know.
Well, and I heard the sheriff went to jail later on too, so.
I got there right after he got out of his orange outfit. So, and then, of course, we talked about another fundraiser, and there was a dunk tank involved. So you're going to have to tell me all about being not only brave enough, but have that heart of service enough to go in and be in the dunk tank. Susan, you got to tell me more about this.
It was during the Oktoberfest in Brookings, of course, last October, and it was a charity dunk tank. So they had five different nonprofits if you were willing to be dunked, and they were looking for elected officials or people to be dunked. And I said, well, yeah, I'll do it, because one of the charities was the animal shelter. And, of course, you know, I have four dogs that I've adopted, so, yeah, I'll, you know, very passionate for me to get that. So it was rainy day when they had the dunk tank filled up, and I got dunked six or seven times, I think. And the director of the animal shelter, I think he dunked me a couple of times himself. He thought that was funny because I sit on his board, so I'm one of his board members. Cold, rainy, but it was worth it. It was a lot of fun. I would do it again.
So you do a lot of volunteering too. When you sit on a board, that may be under the responsibilities of the county and maybe not.
Right.
So some of the things that you do as a volunteer, you want to talk about that a little bit?
So my biggest volunteering position is with the Curry County Animal Shelter. I'm on their board, and I call that my fun time because it's a great organization. I've been on there a couple of years now. And that's my only outside volunteer board because I have so much that I do inside. But I consider all the boards that I work on in the county above and beyond because I will do extra. It's not just about being a commissioner, being on those boards. It's about getting the job done. So to me, it's very personal. And every time I step up to say, oh, I'm going to do it, I want to make sure I'm going to do it. So, and this is a unique opportunity, I think, because I get to be involved in so much going on in the county. And if you can find where you can be most effective, and that makes you not only feel good, but you know that you're doing something good for the community.
Well, and you're modeling volunteerism. You're modeling that heart of service. And in order for us to overcome and do the things that we have to do to grow, especially in the area of community development, which once you've done that, you're creating the right petri dish, for economic development. But that community development rung of the ladder has to come, it has to be citizen driven. Mm-hmm. And the way that citizens are motivated to participate is to have someone who models that. And so one of the things that I appreciate about you working with KCIW to do interviews is that you're not only giving us the opportunity to hone our skills and be better when we get on the air, but to, in the meantime, use the tools that we have to engage people. And civic engagement and citizen involvement aren't just key, they're necessary, absolutely necessary. And being a member of the League of Women Voters, one of the things that really comes up for me is to really honor our leadership who are women at the county, in government in general, but as leaders in nonprofits, as volunteers in the community. So, KCIW really honors that, but we appreciate what you've done for KCIW and giving us some credibility in our startup, because that's huge, and it's also motivating. So thank you for that. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I appreciate the opportunity because I think it's so important to get these messages out. And this is a great forum to do that, you know. So
one of the things that we're going to do at some point is I had talked to Julie Schmelzer, and she mentioned that the county towers are under the roads department. And we're keeping our fingers crossed that maybe we can come up with a plan that we could also tap into the towers in the county and get our broadcast range countywide. And then we would really be much more effective as an innovative community development tool. So maybe that's something we can talk about later. And I thought about coming out, bringing some of the folks from KCIW to the Coffee with the County event on Tuesday. So you want to tell us a little bit about that? I don't know if we'll have this up on the air or out to the public by that time, but people will listen.
And I think it's the last one is next week. We've been doing the every Tuesday in April since this is volunteer month for folks to come out to the county and downstairs in the Blue Room from 10 to 11. And we have a number of department heads or elected officials there and just talk with us and find out what's going on. Ask questions about the different departments. You know, maybe you just were curious about something the county does, and it's just a good opportunity to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and let's talk about it.
I came out to the first one, and I got to talk to Summer. And do you say Summer Madison?
Uh-huh.
Kinney?
Yep.
So I want to make sure I have her name right. She's working on some things in economic development and especially tourism, huh?
Yeah, and she's been Julie's assistant for the past, gosh, year, I guess, now. So she's always involved in economic development.
Okay. Anyway, but I had an interesting talk with her, with Summer, about tourism and economic development, and I learned a lot in that conversation. I was really impressed with some of the ideas and some of the things that economic development can bring to, for example, the port. They talked, I was at the Port of Brookings Harbor Port Commission meeting, and Summer and Julie Schmelzer came out, and they're working with Chrissy Cooper Perry, and they're trying to get a bicycle station so that cyclists can come and use that to get air in their tires and work on their bicycle if they're traveling. So I was really impressed with the Port of Brookings Harbor response to that, their commission, volunteer commissioners, mm-hmm. and they're excited about that. And while at that meeting, Chrissy called out for volunteers to come out to the port, the party at the port event that's going to happen over Memorial Day weekend at the same time as the Azalea Festival. So festivals require a lot of volunteers. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about the Cape Blanco Music Festival. And we talked about, and I had mentioned the Rotarians as being involved in our discussion before we started recording. And you mentioned that were multiple service organizations involved. So you want to talk about that, because service organizations, volunteers.
They do, and the Rotarians are one of the bigger ones. And then we have the Curry County Fair Board. They have the booth out there every year to raise funds for the fairground events. And I know that the school kids all band together and do different things, and they're selling the tickets already for next year's event. And there's a number of other, I can't think of all of them, but I know there's a lot of volunteers that offer their services during the event. There's water, there's ice, there's food, there's selling the tickets, pre-tickets, events. And the Cape Blanco has been very good to the area, because they'll give any business, free advertising on their website. So even if you're not there yet, you might want to contact Bi-Mart and get on the website for the local area and get your business recognized out there.
Or your nonprofit radio
or your
station.
Nonprofit radio station.
Good thinking. Well, thanks for that tip. You know, I know the county was heavily involved in making sure that Cape Blanco Music Festival happened. And I wasn't really privy to that process, but I know one thing, that creative vitality and things like festivals are economic drivers. And so you want to talk a little bit about the thinking of the commissioners when they were involved with helping develop that?
Well, this was brought forward by former Sheriff John Bishop. He was the one that was kind of the spearhead bringing this information down to Curry County. Apparently he'd worked the Brownsville Country Music Festival, Bi-Mart Country Music Festival, for years, and started talking with those promoters about this second event here. And so he was really the spearhead to bring it down. And then when he had it pretty much solidified, he brought it to the commissioners and walked us through what needed to happen. So kudos to former Sheriff Bishop.
Well, it's a fantastic event, and a lot of volunteers are used over that weekend to make sure that parking happens correctly. So what other kind of volunteers? And I know a lot of the county employees volunteered.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of folks that go out there and sometimes just lend a hand wherever they can, you know. And a lot of them are involved in, like, the Rotarians, because it takes an enormous amount of volunteers in the Rotarians or the Fair Board to do a four-day volunteer weekend, because you have to, if you're doing food, you have to be set up for four solid days and make sure you have enough food and enough volunteers to cover all the shifts. Rotary did, I think, the shuttle rides last year. And I know that's an opportunity coming up again this year because they're moving their parking lot a little bit farther away, so they're definitely going to need shuttle opportunities for the Camp Blyco Festival. So maybe that's something to think about for this coming year, how we can get involved in shuttle opportunities.
That'd be awesome to make sure, because you know what, that keeps parking at, you know, a lot of issues of parking out of the mix, and sometimes makes events flow better if you have those shuttle things. But you mentioned the fair board. And the fair board, how does that work with the county, and is the fair board volunteers?
The fair board are volunteers. I mean, Ron is the part-time director of the fair, but the rest of them are volunteers. And those are an amazing group of people because they're a working board. A lot of boards can kind of direct the work, but the fair board, they get in there and they're working in the kitchen and they're building or repairing the buildings and they're gardening and they're, you know, cleaning up. And so right now they're going through the process of identifying capital improvement projects at the fairgrounds, roofs that need to be replaced, which need to be replaced. And they're looking for a lot of volunteers right now. They need, it's a great time to say this, they need kitchen help, they need gardeners, they need painters, they need some maintenance. We could use a contractor that has just some general contracting knowledge to help them, not to do the work necessarily, but maybe help them through the process of bids and making sure that they're not missing anything as they're going through these major repairs. So maybe some technical advisory from a contractor. And the fair's coming up, so they're going to be cleaning up their grounds and getting that prepared. So
is the fair board under the county, or are they standalone nonprofit?
The fair board is an organ. It's a mandated board. They're standalone. The building and the grounds are owned by Curry County, so we help support in that fashion by carrying the insurance and stuff like that. But other than that, they're kind of their own entity outside of that. So they have to make their own budget and make their own revenue sources. So they really struggle year to year because it's a big fairgrounds to maintain and upkeep, and then keep enough events coming through. And most of those events are volunteer run. So if they have a banquet, the people that you see that are serving the food or setting up the tables or cleaning up afterwards, those are all volunteers. They're not employees. And so they struggle, just like a lot of nonprofits, I think, especially if you're busy, to make sure to keep volunteers engaged and appreciated. And I think that's a key to a lot of it, and they're very good at that.
They put on a great fair.
They put on a great fair.
Who doesn't like fast food from the fair or the Ferris wheel?
Yep.
That's a lot of F's in a row, but my point is it's fun.
It is fun, yeah.
So we talked about some things, the opportunities with committees and commissions at the county, and I just want to make sure we haven't left anything out. Is there any other piece of that puzzle you want to let people know how to find out where those openings are and things like that, and we'll wrap it up after that?
Okay, yeah, and we have several openings at the county for our board. So if you go to the county website, which is co.curry.or.us, and look under the committees and advisory boards, you'll see a listing of all of our boards and where there's vacancies. And it gives a description of, you know, what you do as a board member there, and you apply right there online. There's a form right online. And then we make the appointments at the board level and get you working for us.
See, that's awesome. I know a lot of the people that do volunteer on the various committees, and I, because of my commitment to Curry Community Health and sitting on their advisory board, I haven't stepped up to the plate to do that. And of course, we're working on getting this radio station up, which, by the way, could be like before June 1st or shortly after.
Oh,
so it's coming together in a big way. And I had been advising our board to get directors and officers liability insurance at this point. So we're in that place in development where we have enough money to go on the air. We're getting our liability insurance. And then, of course, we can start applying for things like capacity building grants and things like that. And looking at those county towers and that opportunity, because the city, we wouldn't be able to go on the air without being able to tap in that city tower. So, fingers crossed on that project and capacity building grant to support it. So.
And you're doing it all the right way because you're taking it step by step and methodically approaching and growing your radio, you know, involving the community and going to the next step.
And we wouldn't be able to do it without people believing in us. So thank you for believing in us, Susan, and taking the time with us today.
No, I think it's a great service. It's a great service.
Well, you know, it's hard to say goodbye at this point because I know you and I could talk for hours about so many things because you have so much to share and you have so much passion to give to motivate people. And I know I'm always motivated. So thank you for being here today. And thank you for all that you do as County Commissioner, Susan. As always, it's an honor to have you on Community Conversation. And thank you for being here. Hope to talk to you soon again.
I do too. Thank you very much.
If you want to talk about budget, we can do that.
We might have to wait till after and see how it's all going or
okay.
Somewhere in between it, the process anyway, yeah.
And I'm going to try and come out to, you know, one of the budget town halls and learn more. So thank you for helping us stay informed and be more involved and encourage people to be more involved.
So the budget town hall is Monday night, Port Orford, 6 to 8 p.m., and I believe that's in the city council chambers. And Tuesday night we'll be here in the commissioner's hearing room from 6 to 8 p.m. And then Wednesday night is in Brookings, well, Harbor, at the Harbor Water Fire Hall, 6 to 8 p.m.
Perfect. And you know what? We'll put that on our Facebook page,
okay,
too.
Great.
All righty. Well, thanks again, and see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider becoming a founding member. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.